Now, Barry Cummins sits opposite me today because Barry's brought a lovely publication with him, and it's called Minor Victory, Major Breakthrough, Galway Football 1952. And Barry sits opposite me today. Why did you start investigating the minor football final of 52, Barry?
Well, first of all, Keith, thanks for having me in. And I will start at the beginning. My uncle John Cummins, who's alive and living in the Bronx, he told me a good number of years ago that he had an All-Ireland medal from this 1952 victory. The team photograph illustrates that John was not there, and a programme I pursued indicated John was not on that team. But however, when I checked it out further, I found that indeed John was on the programme at number 21 for the refix final. The original programme was for the match that it wasn't played because it was the pitch was unplayable, and they wanted to, or it wasn't really unplayable, it was so wet they wanted to preserve it for the senior final between Meath and Cavan. That match ended in a draw, fittingly.
Oh, was that in Croke Park then, Barry?
That was in Croke Park in 1952, yes.
52. Yeah. So the first schedule that was put out, or the catalogue that was put out, his name wasn't in it.
That's right.
He was in the second one. So are you telling me you didn't believe your uncle?
Well, it's nice to see things in writing, Keith, you know.
And isn't it amazing that the fact that you didn't see him is the reason that forced you to do all this work?
In a way, I got an explanation fairly early on that that time an awful lot of people with good leaving certs received scholarships to go into seminaries, and because the match was deferred until October, there was up to five people unavailable to partake in an All-Ireland final because they wouldn't get out or get dispensation to leave.
From the seminary?
From the seminary, yeah. So,
did your uncle go into the seminary?
No, my uncle replaced somebody that was in the seminary. So that was his good luck.
Wow.
Yes.
But I mean, you put a huge amount of work into this. I mean, if it's June Herald, June 23rd, 1951... how long did this take you to investigate? You were a little investigator.
It took in all about 2 years, and about a year ago I published a draft because some people were proven very, very difficult to pin down. And with that publication on the Connacht Tribune, thanks to Francis Farrher, the one guy that was really, really elusive was a second year minor by the name of Brendan O'Donoghue. And we eventually found him in Ballyvaughan in County Clare. That's where he actually hailed from. How he came to play with Galway is because he was staying in Diggs in Abbeygate Street and attended the Bish. And he had a part-time job then in what was known as Blackrock Clothing Company.
Yeah.
I never remember Blackrock Clothing. When I came to Galway over 40 years ago, Winston's was where that building is now, and that's
I
where
I remember Blackrock there. Yeah,
there you go.
Get clothes on the Never Never.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those were the times we lived in the 50s, yeah. You know.
Yeah, well, I guess beside Corbett Court, yeah, there, so yeah. It is now. Yeah.
And what I also uncovered was that Brendan Donoghue and Eugene Dunleavy, who had just arrived up from Mayo, they both featured on a team called Go na Nog. They were the Westboard County Westboard champions that in 1951. I never had heard of Gutton and Og before, but on further investigation, I believed that they had their clubhouse on Father Griffin Road, where the ICE building is now.
Wow.
And that they also used to have a pipe band that played before matches in Pier Stadium. So that's a little bit about Gutton and Og that I had never ever heard of before.
Eugene went on to, I know his daughter well, Eugene went on to teach me, so he did. He was a PE teacher in the Bish.
He was. I think he was one of the first qualified PE teachers in Ireland, actually.
Yeah. And was he on that 52 team?
He was indeed, yeah. He played at centre halfback.
Wow.
He played all the way through from the first round of the Connacht Championship all the way up. He went to St. Mary's. And St. Mary's won a Connacht title in 52 as well, but Eugene wasn't on that team. Why, I don't know. That's probably something for further investigation.
So you brought out a draft last year then, so yeah, then you got other people. Once the draft was out, other people came in, including the man from Ballyvaughan and
that's right, yeah.
And others from there. And did it take you long then to bring it to fruition?
Sure, it was very stop-start getting the information, and then when you'd run into a brick wall maybe and say, God, I cannot get any more, and find out, you know, you had, there was Brian Waldron from Tuam who just seemed to disappear into thin air, you know, and just by pure chance I was reading the Tuam Herald, an article by David Burke, and he did a feature on John Waldron, who would have been a historian down in Tuam. And he just elaborated to say that John had a son that settled in Ballybunion, and that a son of that man in Ballybunion is up in the north of Ireland. And he was on the COVID team for working out of Belfast, and his name was Dr. Jerry Waldron. Mm. I took a chance and took a punt and sent an email to Dr. Jerry Waldron, wondering would he be related to Brian, and I hit the jackpot. He responded back. I didn't think the man would have time during 2021.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did. He was indeed a first cousin of Brian, and Brian immigrated to England, and he passed away over there. So that's why.
So that was Dr. John Waldron, was the man that you were reading about in the Tuam Herald?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, he was a gentleman of gentlemen.
Is that right? Yeah.
Absolutely, a gentleman of gentlemen. Yeah, he really was. He was a regular on this program, so he was many, many times. So then you are where you are now. Have you launched it and selling it and all?
It's been launched this evening at St. Michael's Clubhouse. His Worship Eddie Hoare, a good St. Michael's man and a friend of my own family, he will be there to launch it from the clubhouse at 6 o'clock. Everybody is welcome.
That's Westside now.
Westside, indeed, yeah. And the book is going on sale for €20, and there will be profits going to Galway Hospice.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's an amazing work of history and diligence that you had to go through.
Indeed. There was a big trawl of archives. You know, people talk about the good old days, but I think the good old days started around 1960, because trying to find anything in the 50s was very, very difficult. There wasn't much newsprint. There was there might be one wireless per village. No television, and that's where I got a lot of information. Plus, I think the brilliant story of it all is that there are 12 people still alive heading into their 90th year next year, and they were able to give me so much information, which was fantastic. Yes.
Did you get to meet most of them?
I got to meet about half of them.
Wow.
Yeah. There are some of them abroad.
And they remember it so well.
They do, yeah. And the captain, Brian Mahan, who lives in Tuam, he recalls everything so clearly, so vividly. He's a great source of information. There was Brian Nocton in Banlasloe, a great source of information. And I cannot let it go without mentioning John Doyle in New Village, Newbridge. He got me so much information and identified. I was working off a photograph of the players in their civvies after winning the All-Ireland the morning after, and I started with a blank page, but John Doyle filled in a lot of gaps for me.
Mm. Isn't that lovely to have?
It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Have you sent a copy of this to the Bronx now, have you?
It hasn't gone yet. Well, the draft has gone to the Bronx. So
so he's vindicated, your uncle is vindicated.
He is indeed, yeah. And he has indeed an All-Ireland medal. And another thing about the 50s as well, he couldn't prove and show me that he had the All-Ireland medal, which was made from gold. What a lot of people did that time was they melted their gold down and made wedding bands out of them.
Wow. But does he have the original?
He has a wedding band and a wife for well over 60 years now. So.
Good on him. So he melted it down and made the wedding
band. He made a wedding band out of it, yes.
Wow. There is.
I got a copy, a photograph of an original medal from that 1952 team from Jerry Meehan, who was deceased. He was another man that proved quite elusive to try and track down, and it was only through a death notice that I found out who his children were, and there was one of them, she spelled her name Marion with an O, and I just googled Marion. I found a solicitor with the law firm in town. I took a punt and emailed her, and just before I sent the email, I says, I'm either going to be barking up the right tree here, or I'll be sued by a solicitor for stalking.
So, God, you, I mean, Inspector Clouseau is nothing on you. Inspector.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it, and I was like a dog with a bone, and every time you got a result, you'd be on cloud nine, you know?
Yeah. Well done to you. Yeah. Well done. Okay. I'm going to give you back the book here that I have, so you can sell that, or maybe you can get Eddie Hoare indeed to sign it for you tonight, Mayor Eddie Hoare. So he does the launch. So the launch is on in St. Michael's GA facilities in Westside at what time?
At 6 o'clock sharp.
6 p.m.
Yeah, Eddie will be there at 6.
Tonight, sharp. And I take it you'll have some refreshments there. So
there's refreshments. There'll be a drop of vino as well. And
don't be giving them wine at that hour, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Don't be giving them.
I might have a temporary license to supply it at that hour. Well, there at that premises.
There isn't a hostelry too close to it, so there'll be no competition, I'll tell you. Unless you go down as far as Cook's at the Sliding Rock from there. Listen, thank you indeed for joining us.
Thank you so much,
Keith. It's a lovely story. Barry Cummins there. And again, New Work restores the 1952 miners to a proper place in GAA history. It's a lovely story. Well done. Keep up the good work. And can I just remind you, by the way, I did get a message this morning, which I have here, in relation to, there's a lovely choir event taking place tomorrow in St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church. So if you fancy going along, you can do so, because Constantine McNeilis was on to me, and he basically sent me some details on it, which I'll give you details of just in a moment. And he said, as part of the... this is all to do introducing Sister, an eclectic and enchanting musical journey that revolves around the exquisite tapestry of a female voice. The heart of Sister's is artistry lies an innate connection to the natural world. Their music interweaves both contemporary and ancient vocal techniques, casting a spellbinding sonic aura, a testament to their commitment to showcasing a truly enchanting and unparalleled auditory experience. And again, this is all taking place, and it's all part of a wonderful event taking place in Galway. But if you want to get further details, their performance is on part of the voices for the Sea Choral Festival starting tonight. But they will, Sister will perform at St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. It's free entry. Masterclass is taking place all weekend. Voices by the Sea Fest.com for further details there. Voices by the Sea Fest.com. But if you fancy going and hearing some of the finest choral music and singing in the country, go along tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church there, and it's free entry. And Neil McNeilis will be on the door, so you can give him a clap on the back from there. A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday. I'm delighted indeed to welcome Ria Cahill to the programme. And I followed her story through thick and thin since day one that this came out. And who is Maria Cahill? She's a former Irish senator and councillor. And at the age of 16, she was abused by a member of the IRA and waived in her anonymity in 2014. Now, it led to a furore in the Irish media and debates in Dáil-Éireann and all that went on from there. But she's brought a book out to the market, My Story and the Reality of Sinn Féin, by Maria Cahill. It's called Rough Beast. She's going to be in Galway tomorrow at bookstores, and she'll tell us where. But she joins me on the line today. Maria, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for that introduction. I'm actually delighted to be speaking with you.
I'm delighted to talk. I have followed you with great interest because... I think if anybody else went through this, they would have been broken down. But you didn't let them break you down.
Well, I was broken over the years. You know, I had a number of testy experiences. I went into a psychiatric unit at one stage, I think for about a week. I had suicide attempts. You know, I find things very difficult. But I had a great grandmother who came, my grandmother, who was great, I should say, came from Cork. And she had had some awful, awful experience. She lost a number of children going through. And her attitude to life was really to get up, keep going, and keep a sense of humour. And I haven't licked it off the stones, you know. I got up and I just kept going. It was tough. But look, I'm still here. I have a most fantastic daughter, Sarah, who's 13. And she really is a joy to parent. And she has kept me going.
But, when you've been through what you've been through, and I suppose the photograph on the front of Rough Beast, My Story and the Reality of Sinn Féin, the photograph there, that tormenting photograph of microphones and phones and all of that type of stuff in your face, you were very brave to waive your anonymity, but fair play to you for doing it.
I think I had really very little option but to do it. And, you know, people maybe don't appreciate that when you waive anonymity, it's for the duration of your life. You know, you're afforded that protection in Northern Ireland anonymously as a victim of sexual abuse for your lifetime. And I had to. I mean, I probably couldn't have lived with myself if I hadn't have done it. And yes, you know, the photograph is striking. It was taken just after a meeting with Taoiseach Enda Kenny at the time, coming out of government buildings. But I am so grateful to every journalist who covered this story, because without them, and particularly I have to mention too, Paddy McDonnell, who worked for News Talk, was the first journalist to bring it to the South, but also Jennifer O'Leary and the wonderful team at BBC and I Spotlight, who brought my story into the public domain. Without people, you know, holding a light into the shadows, and that's why I think journalism is so important. No one would hear of these issues, and I am very, very grateful to be given a voice to be able to do so.
But again, for you to take the actions that you've taken, and even to put it in writing, there was a lot stacked against you, but you kept going.
I did, yeah. I mean, I had written some of it way back in 2012, in the second year of my court cases, which lasted 4 years. More so as a catharsis, I needed to be able to type what, you know, I remembered and also what was happening to me in order to be able to survive from day to day. And that sounds very strange, but that's the way it was. And then I was actually asked by my editor, Neil Belton, to write a different book. He wanted me to write a book about the rise of Sinn Féin and their vote, obviously, and how they very well end up in government in Dublin. And I started to write it. I mean, I say started, I probably was about 80,000 words in. And then I decided, no, actually, you know, the book that I need to write that has come really from my soul is this book, Rough Beast, because what better way to describe how people treat vulnerable individuals, you know, if you don't use your own experience and try and document it. And I think, I hope, forensically, when people lift this book, they think that I forensically documented everything. And, you know, that's all I want people to do. I understand that people vote for Sinn Féin. They're entitled to do so. Their vote counts as much as anybody else's. But I really hope that they approach this book and read it. And I think when you read it from A to Z, you know, you can't help but be pulled into the pages of it. And I know that other people who have bought it and read it and who are contacting me, that seems to be the prevailing opinion.
Yeah. Did you find your time in the Senate it's a lovely photograph there, so there is, with Michael Mullins indeed from East Galway and the late Terry Brennan, who was a character of characters there. But did you find that being in the Senate gave you a chance to keep a very close eye on this and to mix with people that you could tell your story to?
Well, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I'm a political nerd. So that was like, you know, someone's equivalent of watching Emmerdale up close and personal. You know, it was just amazing. Michael Mullins was very good to me. Terry Brennan was a dote. He really was. He was just a lovely, lovely man. And that's why I wanted that photograph in the book, to keep that memory of him, you know, because he was so good to me. From all parties were good to me. And I actually interacted with the Sinn Féin senators also in there. I think sometimes people think that you all ignore each other in the corridors. When you're in that bubble and you have to legislate to try to protect the public, of course you're going to work with everybody. In terms of raising the issue, I probably had already done most of that, and I didn't want people thinking that I was using the Shannon for my own experience. So I actually deliberately stepped outside of the issue when on record, and you can check, you know, I spoke about domestic violence. I tried to hold the government, of which I was a part, you know, in terms of I was a Labour senator who were in government at that time. And I tried to hold the government account on issues like domestic violence, for example, refuge spaces. You know, I raised Northern Ireland legacy issues. I raised the Grace case at the time. You know, there were lots of issues coming through. But even in terms of legislating for farmers and hedge cutting, and, you know, I remember one very memorable day when someone used the order of business to say it was International Penguin Day. So all sorts of manner of issues get discussed. And also looking at people up close, like David Norris was an absolute dream to be sitting beside in the Shannon and watching him. You know, Ivana Bacik was there. Everyone will be familiar with Ivana at that time. You know, Fidel Mahaley Ames. There were a whole range of people who were there who were great, interesting, colourful characters. You know, Mary-Louise O'Donnell also, she was brilliant on disability legislation, for example. And then my other senators, Marie Maloney, John Gilroy, people who sat beside me, Catherine Zappone, you know, I could name check them all. It was a really, really brilliant mix of people who were there, who were all, in fairness, dedicated to trying to do the best that they could do. So I had a great experience in the Shannon, and, you know, but I have to thank both Fine Gael and Labour for putting me in there,
but a good
for however short space of time it was, you know.
But a good support and mechanism to have around you. I mean, you mentioned Catherine Zappone there, and I mean, she went on to become minister and delivered a lot. So she did Fidel Mihaly Eames, all of those people. I mean, they put their lives on hold going to the Shannons, and again, they had to pick up pieces afterwards. And politics can be very tough and very rough, so again, politics can be very...
Like it can, and that's the nature of the beast. You know, I'm a political nerd, I always have been, so, you know, as I say, it was like Christmas for me, you know, I had a really great time, but I had also forged an awful lot of really good relationships right across the political spectrum, north and south, and when I went public, obviously, that was important for me to do. So I wanted everybody to be aware of the issue, and I worked quite hard in terms of developing relationships, which I've kept. You know, I had a lovely text message from Enda Kenny the other day. He wasn't able to make the launch. Micheál Martin, who was brilliant to me from 2012, did turn up. We launched the book in Dublin the other night. Eamon McCann launched it in Belfast. Olivia O'Leary, who is a class act, she launched it in Dublin for me. And, you know, I'm still on cloud nine as a result. To have people of that calibre read your book, never mind coming and launching it, was just a dream. You know, and we had about 130 people. One of the most important people in attendance for me was Paddy McGahan, who also waived his anonymity as a victim of sexual abuse by an IRA member who was later convicted. And, you know, I was so glad to see him there, you know, and we'd politicians from all parties and none. We'd Rory Cowan, who used to act in Mrs. Brown's Boys. Rand Tuberty actually also very graciously turned up. Also, you know, people like Sean O'Rourke. So it was a real kind of eclectic mix of people, which is just the way I like it. And everyone has been really good and supportive. And the most important people in terms of support on this issue, because, you know, the issue is now documented from A to Z, are the people who are buying the book and reading the book. And I never take that for granted. Like, it's a big thing to go out in the rain and go to a bookstore and pick up a book. And, I am also thankful to the bookstores for selling it and for the space to talk about it, because it is a horrendous issue. But I think there's a bit of hope there. Also, absolutely. You know, I'm still here, still standing. I am, you know, I have a as normal a life as I can make it in the confines of abnormality. Mm. You know, I have a lovely child, and, you know, I try to do my best to keep on an even keel to parent her as best I can. You know, so, you know, I hurtle through life for a period of it, and I try to take it slightly more easy now, albeit having written a book. And, you know, it's great to talk to people, and it's also good to talk to people who have been through an experience of abuse, who maybe are finding for the first time in 30 or 40 years after reading the book or hearing about the issue, you know, sometimes it triggers people. They then get in touch to say, look, this happened to me, I'm getting help, I'm going to try to get counselling or whatever, and hopefully it has had a positive impact on people too.
Again, you're coming to Galway tomorrow, so you're, and the book is called Rough Beast, My Story and the Reality of Sinn Féin, by Maria Cahill, and you're going to be in Galway. Do you know what time you're going to be in Galway, and where will you be?
I'm hoping to be there as early as possible, because I love Galway. I spent last summer there for a couple of weeks, and, you know, my father and mother pick us on camping trips all around Ireland. Galway's always one of my favourite places, but I have a lovely friend, Claire Parr, who's from Galway, who's, you know, she's really great at selling the place to people. So, you know, I'm hoping to be, I think, in Charlie's and Dubray and Eason's and all of the independent bookshops along the way sometime from 11:30, hopefully, onwards. So, you know, if you're knocking around a bookshop or you're in Galway City Centre tomorrow, please call in and say hello. If you catch me, and if not, call in and hopefully lift the book. And we'll sign as many as we can.
You mentioned Jennifer O'Leary there from the BBC, and she was taking calls from other journalists within BBC trying to work out how they could broadcast your testimony while not overstepping any legal lines. I know that feeling on a daily basis, but it got out there as well. Could you ever, not today or tomorrow or otherwise, but could you see this being made into a series?
Good question. I'm not sure, and I have had approaches over the years. One man wanted to write a play about it at one time, and you know, I spoke to him, but I just felt at that time, you know, it's very strange because it's your life. You know, it's a story to people, yes, and of course it's a story, and I've written it in the book, you know, but it's also very deeply personal. So I'm not sure, and I have had approaches for, you know, filmmakers and playwrights and, you know, things. So, look, when the dust settles on this, and hopefully it doesn't settle on the book too soon, you know, I sit down and I look at the issue in the round, but I'm really happy that people are finally getting a chance. I think sometimes whenever a story like this is in the public domain, the detail, because there is so much of it, people get confused or lost in the issue or whatever, or they think that you're out on an attack, and that was never the case. But with this book, what people can do is sit down and read. And, you know, I've deliberately written the first part of the book in hopefully a way in which people will find it easy to understand the sequence of events. And I've written the second part of the book, which is more forensic, which looks at, you know, my meetings with Gerry Adams, my meetings with Mary Lou McDonald, you know, the response from the party from the point in which I went public. That documents that very carefully, you know, from the point in which I use my voice until the present day. And I hope that, you know, really all I want people to do is read it with an open mind. I know that when they do, and they're, because they're telling me, they're absolutely appalled by it, but they're also interested in it and they've kept interested. You know, people are saying they're finding it hard to put it down. And I hope, you know, people will tell their friends and, you know, their relations that they've read the book, and hopefully it'll do well enough. Like, everybody wants to, when they're selling the book, they need to promote it. They want people to buy it. I'm really grateful to everybody who has picked it up, you know, and I hope they enjoy. Enjoy is probably the wrong word. I hope they stay reading when they lift it up.
Stay with it. It's called Rough Beast, My Story and the Reality of Sinn Féin. It's going to be very interesting local elections and general election indeed in the near future, as to see all this pans out, because Sinn Féin have had their issues in the past, and it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out from there. Amory, enjoy Galway, and don't let Clare lead you astray fully, please. And enjoy Galway, and it doesn't rain ever in Galway. The rain never falls in Galway.
So no, it's always sunny across Galway. Listen, thank you very much. I really wish.
Maria Cahill joining us there. Thank you for joining us today on the programme. Quick commercial break, and there's a lovely event taking place in Moycullen. We'll tell you about that next. Now, the daily winner for the Sweeney Oil Competition is Patricia Walsh, Clearview Park, Ballyballen, Galway. Congratulations to you, Patricia. You win yourself a €25 voucher, and you could be upgraded in the next 5 minutes, so you could, to the overall prize. All names go into a hat. So, Patricia Walsh, Clearview Park in Ballyballen. We've had a good few winners in Ballyballen, I have to say, today, or this week. But anyway, there you go. Look, it's a lovely event taking place in Moycullen. It's taking place in the old school, which is called Aris Illin, indeed, on the right-hand side going down. And I'm joined in studio by Bernie Higgins, because An Garda Síochán exhibition is taking place. It's a Moycullen heritage event, and it's taking place from this evening onwards until Sunday. Bernie, good morning to you. How are you today?
Hello, Keith. Thanks for having me.
I'll bring you over a little bit there. Talk to me about what you have. It's An Garda Síochán exhibition in Moycullen. It's a heritage event, as I said. Now, it's starting tonight, 7:30 until 9. Then it'll be open tomorrow 10:30 until 5. That's and right. Sunday 10:30 until 5 as well. How did this come about?
Well, as some people might know, the Garda Síochán were actually set up in 1922, following on from our new government then, our new state. And we actually even have a letter, from a copy of a letter that Michael Collins, who was then chairman of the provisional government, he suggested setting up this new police force. So from there, people might know it was actually for a short few months, it was called the Civic Guards, but then it came the Garda Síochán, which again, people might know is the guardians of the peace. But anyway, the first Gardaí arrived in Moycullen on the 4th of October, 1923, which was just Wednesday, was 100 years. One sergeant and three Gardaí arrived in the village.
Wow.
But there's a full story to be told, because people mightn't believe, but when they arrived in the village, there was no place to put them. And for anybody who knows Moycullen, they actually ended up having to go into the Co-op building. You might know that building is still there.
Next door to the White Gables, yeah.
The better thing was that the White Gables was originally the RIC barracks, but that was burnt down in 1922, as a lot of barracks were at that time. A lot of things were going on in Ireland. That's another story, another exhibition. So they couldn't go in there. So the only place for them was the Co-op. But it was in a horrendous state. There was leaking, the roof, the doors, the windows, and there was a lot of controversy going on, a lot of correspondence back between the guard, the commissioner, and the various government bodies at that time, the Board of Works and whatever, trying to get a new barracks built. So it was not until 1927 that the new barracks was finally built, and that's still in the village today. So we've got the old RIC barracks, you've got the co-op building, and you've got then the new guard station. So that's there since 1927.
And they're in a row.
Yeah, in a row. And would you believe, across the road from what is now, people know it as the White Gables, that was the other house on the other side of the road was the accommodation of the RIC building.
Get away.
Another very interesting fact
was...
That was
Kynes' shop then.
Yes, and then it came Morrison's, I think it was there. That was a home then for many years, you know. Oh. So then just down from that, at one stage, would you believe, the Gardaí had to move into what's now Regan's Pub. But it was Caulfield's at that time. Now, these are all the stories we're going to tell you if you come along tonight and tomorrow and the next day, because we've all these stories documented. And they had to move in there for a while because the co-op was totally damaged in a storm, big storm back then. And so they were in part of the in the pub for a while. Of course, they had to break off the part, cordon it off. And yeah. So it's a really interesting story, and we hope people will learn all about that when they come along to the exhibition tonight or tomorrow or the next day.
But there's so much history, because I know we did I know because my folks are from there, but there's so much history in that whole area where the first church was down further. The whole thing was just, and now you see a bypass going in.
I know.
It's taken from...
Yeah. I know. I mean, I don't want to get away from what we're doing tonight, but we also were involved there recently in another exhibition that was on in the Galway Museum as of Corribio.
Yeah.
And it was all about Father Blake, who was a parish priest back in the late 1800s, setting up the first school.
Yeah.
And then Arasillan was built, where the exhibition is on tonight. I'll keep saying it. Yeah. And tomorrow and the next day.
Did you say it's on tonight, did you?
Yeah, it's been launched tonight. 7:30, yeah. So thank you. We were glad to get the last minute of when we contacted you a week or two ago. It was great to get in tonight. So it's right on right now tonight. Won't forget it.
That's the 20th time you said tonight, you see.
Yeah, and keep saying it.
Tonight, 7:30.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, 7:30.
Will you go straight home then?
At 9:30.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll see.
You might have to check out the old barracks.
or go up to Regan's or whatever, or some of the other great pubs around.
The old temporary barracks.
Yeah.
So you want young and old in the village to, or not in the village, that have roots there or that had family there. At any stage, just go there.
Yeah. I mean, you've got all these families, like we've got the Actons, we've got the Lydons, we've got the O'Hallorans, we've got the Clancys. All these people have family members going back over the 100 years and some are still in the Garda Síochána. Another thing was, at one stage, the Garda Síochána were actually called the Civic Guards.
You were saying that?
Yeah, and so that's an interesting thing. Another thing was, at one stage, we also had a temporary Garda force called on Chaka Síochána during the emergency, or as World War II. So we tell you all about that when that was set up as well. Then, not only... we're talking about stories, but we've got a huge amount of memorabilia, old letters, ledgers, helmets, uniforms. People can come along, see all. We've got one uniform going back to the 1920s. See all that.
A huge amount of work has gone into it by my cultural heritage. I mean, really.
Yeah.
But you're a great bunch of people.
There's a great group of people. They're all very interested. I mean, you know some of the people, like Hazel Morrison and Walter McDonough and all them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just a fount of information.
You'll have to take out their batteries tonight now. Take out Hazel's batteries tonight. Just for a short while.
Unfortunately, Hazel had a little accident recently and broke her arm, so she has to take a little step back at the moment.
That's the second time she broke her arm.
Did she?
I'll have to look up the crime records in the Garda barracks in Moycullen.
We're going to have, I say, two superintendents there tonight, officially launching it. And I believe we're going to maybe also have somebody from the Garda Museum in Dublin come down, because they've been helping us as well. I will have to say a big thank you, and you'll know Marie Mannion, the Heritage Officer in the Galway County Council. A super, super woman. I don't know how she does all the work around the country. Mm. I mean, she's just a great help to us all. She supports
all. She just doesn't stop, that's all.
I know. I sometimes feel embarrassed ringing her. I actually rang her on Tuesday morning, and she was just back from her annual leave.
Mm.
And of course, she was sorted everything out for me.
Listen, so the launch date is tonight, 6th of October, 7:30pm to 9pm. And again, it's going to be open tomorrow, Saturday, from 10:30am to 5pm. And then it's going to be open on Sunday from 10:30am to 5pm. And anybody, it's free of charge entry. You just go in. And will you be there most of the time?
Oh, we'll all be there, all the different members of the Mike Cullen Heritage. Yeah. And we have people who are some even travelling from different parts of the country, because our family members are being, you know, covered in the exhibition. So we're delighted they're going to come and see it and everything. Yeah, so it's a great, great event.
Good on you. Listen, well done. Thanks for popping into us today.
Thanks, Keith.
Good luck with that. I hope you get big numbers now.
Yes.
Let them come in. The weather is supposed to be good for the weekend. Bernie Higgins, thank you for joining us today. And again, just to tell you, it's starting tonight, as we said, at 7:30pm. It's in Oris Ila on the Church Road in Mike Cullen. So it's the old school there beside the new school, which is now to be an even newer school. God, we could keep going all day. But again, if you want to get further details, go there from there. Bernie Higgins, thank you indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks for the good work. And thanks for being with us. Now, can I just announce the overall winner, by the way, of the Sweeney Oil Stop the Tank competition that we've been doing all of this week. And the overall winner, who's going to get themselves the Magnus monitor for 1 year and €300 worth of Sweeney Oil voucher there, that is going to go to Angela Fitzpatrick in Ballyban. Angela, congratulations. Stop screeching, I can hear you here. Angela Fitzpatrick in Ballyban, congratulations to you. You're the overall winner, and everybody else gets a €25 voucher from there. But the overall winner is Angela Fitzpatrick from Ballyban, and congratulations to you from there. Keith, I arrived in Ballinasloe last Sunday evening and didn't know that there was a fare on. With the redirection of traffic, I don't know how to get to my destination. A lovely lady helped me out, and a big thank you from the person in the silver Peugeot. And other calls coming in too today. Keith, congratulations to all involved in a wonderful weekend. What's on this weekend? Let us know from there. Well done to Barry Commons. I'll be at the launch of the book today, and I want to wish him every success. And congratulations to him, because he's done a great job on it. And I look forward to being there in St. Michael's at 6 o'clock today. On Monday's programme, by the way, 800 million Bristow contract overcharging taxpayers there, according to a Galway senator. The PWO on Galway demand better pay and conditions for PhD students. We're looking at a wonderful event taking place in the Portishead on Tuesday, and the Toughest Trek 2023, where Fergus Farrell is taking on another challenge. He joins us early on Monday morning, and he'll tell us that story from there. Plus, we have a beautiful, beautiful our 11 o'clock hour on Monday is a beautiful documentary, and it's all about the Computer and Communications Museum in the University of Galway. So it's all about that. And we have Speedy Smith, and we have a gang of people joining us there. It's just lovely. I listened to it last night. It's going to be tremendous. So anybody that has an interest in the old computers and the Commodore computers and all the various games, join us on Monday morning, just after the 11 o'clock news for that. It runs from 11 o'clock until 12 o'clock. That is it for today. Good luck to everybody in Galway BFM and every other radio station in the country. The IMRO Radio Awards are on in Kilkenny tonight, so we wish everybody the very best of luck in that. As they make their way to Kilkenny tonight, and you'll hear it on local news tomorrow morning as to how successful all stations have been. It's a big night for radio, so we wish everybody heading down to Kilkenny the very best of luck. Thank you to John Morley, who produced today, to Cuiva, who assisted, and to Fiona, who took all of your comments today. Enjoy your weekend, whatever you're at. Don't forget the best of goes out tomorrow morning between 7 and 8, and goes out on Sunday morning between 7 and 8 as well. We'll join you live from Studio One on Monday morning. We have an exciting program for you on Tuesday. We'll tell you more about that, though, on Monday morning. Have a good weekend. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.